got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Welcome to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here in our brand new studio for the first time, KFKA has been here for, a week now, Micah?
Yes, a little over a week.
Fantastic. Well, this is the first Nerd Show we've had in, since the big move to the new studio, and just welcome. We're glad you're tuning in. Of course, I'm Nick. We are missing Scott, a.k.a. Darth Monger, tonight. We've got Micah behind the glass. So, Micah, you and I, who are we called?
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And, of course, in memory of... Oops, sorry, wrong button.
Darthus Pincus.
Actually, how about in memory of the old building? I feel like I'm the only one who kind of misses the old building.
You know, I'm going to say it's so much lighter in here than the old building. We have windows.
I know. Isn't that sad?
I love windows. We are missing Darth Monger and, Scott tonight. But also a shout out to him as Mr. Scott Magerflesh and Mrs. Kelly Zielman tied the knot this past Saturday. Phenomenal ceremony. You know, I think, Mike, I don't know about you, but I think, even without Scott's vote, we got a stamp of approval for that marriage, don't we?
I did meet her once. She came in to record a commercial, and she was kind enough to record something else for me.
Darth Monger.
You've seen all the time. That's fantastic. Wow, we've got, it's been a few weeks, but it's been a quiet couple of weeks in the nerddom. Just not much has come out. We talked about Guardians 3. I saw Transformers, which we'll get into that maybe later.
Yeah, I did
not.
That was
probably enough. That was enough of Transformers.
Have you had a chance to see the new Spider-Man?
I haven't seen the new Spider-Man yet. You know,
neither
and I didn't even see that first one of Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, dude.
And I hear it's one of the best ones.
Oh, it is. The Miles Morales Spider-Man is my favorite Spider-Man.
So help me understand this, Micah. You might be able to explain this well to me. I'm not one for cartoons. I mean, I grew up on cartoons and Nickelodeon and Saturday morning cartoons, of course. But, when it comes down to major motion pictures, which I think the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verses are major motion pictures, right? I just am not into them. But why am I not into, the Marvel Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but I'll watch Bad Batch or I'll watch, some of the other animated Star Wars things?
Well, I think it's because you are a Star Wars fan and you'll take that your Star Wars dumb more over your dislike of cartoons. But when you watch this movie, keep in mind that it is a combination of animation and
live action.
Not live action, but I don't know how they completely did the animation. But the animation is so creative. It is so creative. And it's not like a do-do-do-do-do cartoon the entire time. They
when you
do
say
have a character.
Like Mickey Mouse type of thing with his...
Well, it's it's Sony, so they don't have any Mickey Mouse. It's...
I know.
They do have kind of a Warner Brothers type of character.
To me, when I've seen the previews, it looks like a sped up, like you're flipping through a comic book. Is that what it looks like in the movie too?
Yeah, they've got some comic book elements to it, and they did that on purpose. It really is. I don't like hip hop music, but it's got some of that in there, and it really is better than. It's probably up there with Black Panther for me.
Is that because of the storyline?
It's not just the story. It's the best Spider-Man story. It's very emotional. It's very creative. It's once again, you kind of have that sort of Uncle Ben situation, but you have a
which
different
we never had
to
in
it.
The latest Spider-Man trilogy. Yes, we've had the trilogy now.
Yeah, but they never showed it in.
No, they did for the first two though.
Yeah,
and
well, now you have like an Aunt May situation.
Exactly, they kind of reversed it there.
But this is the best coming of age movie that I have seen, maybe since Stand By Me, which was very good. I haven't seen it as an adult, but I saw it as a kid.
What was that?
Stand By Me.
We have these new, well, brand new computers that actually work and don't just function off a, you know how you had to wind up something for an air raid siren? That was what we had in the old studio.
You're talking about the computer monitor. The computer monitors were not great. They've all been replaced.
Well, I've never used a computer in studio before. I've used my personal laptop, so I was just making up a story and embellished. And Micah, you took it away from me.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. Stand By Me. Who was...
You had River Phoenix in it. You had...
oh, yeah. Okay. 1986.
Yeah.
Okay,
great
so...
Great movie.
Look at these... Oh, story by Stephen King.
You also had the guy from Sliders. I can't remember his first name.
Will Wheaton was in it.
Yeah. Will Wheaton, he was... Well, you should watch... There's a podcast that Will Wheaton is on. He talks about how he didn't really want to... act in a lot of movies.
You know,
he
I remember
being Star Trek.
But. Yeah, Will Wheaton's one of my favorite. I think there's humans. Like, he's the most down-to-earth actor.
I think it comes from the fact that he didn't want to be an actor, the fact that his parents kind of forced him into it. He had not physically abusive, but very emotionally abusive parents who took advantage of him. And now he's grown up to be... I would rather podcast. I would rather be a different person. I know who I am now.
Well, he's not a tremendous actor, but he was the narrator for when I read.
He was
When I listened to Ready Player One and Ready Player Two, he was the narrator. He did fantastically, and I like his podcasts. But you know, looking at these coming of age stories, Stand By Me, 1986, after the death of one of his friends. Blah, blah, blah. That happens. Well, there are so many movies around that that era that came out. What was the one with Macaulay Culkin and the gal? It was when he got stung by bees and
oh,
died.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
It's, in, it's
I
on
haven't
the tip of my
that.
Tongue.
I haven't seen that movie all the way through, and it was a very long time.
But that was a fantastic coming-of-age story. I'm looking it up. Micah, fill the dead space.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I remember the two kids were very good together. Macaulay Culkin is another one of those guys who had
my
parents
girl.
Who I don't think were the best parents of all time, but he's also kind of a weird dude. He has a band that...
Well, he is now, but you look at him, he was a sweet kid. This was called My Girl, 1991. That was right before Home Alone. And fun fact, because I do host trivias, he was his salary for Home Alone was the highest... for a child actor up until that point. But when we go down...
And he deserved it because he was great in the movie.
Okay, but we look and watch that movie now and what a maniacal, you know, kid comes up with those torture situations for a...
written by a maniacal
And this was before
adult.
The day of video games for parents to blame those. But Micah, we're saying you had a whole generation of people being raised by these, you know, these great actors and actresses we love. I mean, one great example is... Y'all know by now I'm so bad with names. He was in The Mummy, and he just won an Academy Award for The Whale. Ben. I should be looking this up now that I have a computer that I'm accessing.
I don't remember which one The Whale is.
Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. Brendan Fraser.
Oh, so, yeah, Ben. Oh, God. He was great in The Mummy. I'm sorry. I know people hate The Mummy movies, but those are great. Not the third one.
It was kind of like the mix of the comedy that you get and, you know, what we loved and fell in love with Star Wars, with Indiana Jones, which is coming out the fifth movie at the end of the month. Really excited about that. I am. But you had these parents that were really pushing their kids to be actors, whether they grew up in the Hollywood elite or not. And now we have this era where... And no offense to these parents, but also maybe a little bit of offense. You know, I play hockey, and there are so many hockey parents that are really pushing their kids. Really, I mean, no offense, but the chances of somebody from, we'll say, Greeley, Colorado, making it to the NHL is percentage-wise probably far less than somebody who grew up in Saskatchewan.
I think you've always had that, though. You've always had those bad
parents. But I don't know. And I had a philosophy, you know, maybe a month or so ago, I was having a debate over this topic of, you know, back when Wayne Gretzky was the best of the best, you know, his parents didn't have the access to sports like, you know, he did. And they didn't know what a professional athlete could have earned or made, or the fame and recognition. You know, that was a different time. That was when Olympians were Olympians and they weren't celebrated on every brand and label. And that, you know, changed throughout our lifetimes. Now we have so many folks, myself included, but I still hope to be the oldest rookie drafted goaltender in the NHL. But I've settled for adult recreational, essentially beer league hockey. And you have parents really pushing. A few weeks ago, I was at a Billet family meeting for a new minor league team coming to town. And something they had mentioned of, you know, for the safety of the players traveling. And heck, I play hockey with another goalie friend of mine and his wife. And their 14-year-old is going to be moving to the Springs and being with the Billet family there. Yeah, we're in Colorado or Greeley, 3 hours away. But he's going to live down there for 6 months playing hockey in a Billet family. And these are great parents, phenomenal parents. He's a goalie, so he's just as jacked up on the head as I am in a good way. But when we were at this Billet family meeting, they had said, you know, one thing that these kids need support. These kids between, you know, at this age, 18 to 22 or something like that, that is coming to town, of when they come home for a game, they don't want to be chastised for why didn't you score enough? Why didn't you play enough? Why wasn't this? They just want to go home and have – and so many, I think parents now want – in a good way, to see their kids thrive, but also push them to that point of, then that isn't fun for you anymore.
If I had kids, I would push my kid to have fun and to accomplish something and to not give up. But if they're no longer having fun, I'm not going to continue to push them. That's
a hard thing. Parenting. Because then you have parents who, you know, let's say your kid is really stubborn. And I got a friend of mine who's got a daughter who's brilliant, you know, very creative and crafty, but really struggles with school. And they're not great in school. And they're like, well, I just want to pull them out of school and have them shadow me for a while. You'll learn more that you need to know about real world life experience that way than like fitting that mold that the education system forces you to blend into.
And not everybody...
God, I sound
learn.
Like you, Micah. Wow.
Oh, well, yeah.
We're in a new location, a new personality.
You're turning into a libertarian. not everybody can sit in a classroom and learn. There are some people who thrive from smaller class sizes. This is why community college exists, because a lot of people learn better when the size of the classroom is tops 16 people. Some people deserve... like the more sitting, cross-legged,
like the lecture,
talking to
you know,
the teacher.
80, 100,
yeah.
Oh, or the one-on-one in the mm-hmm. small classroom.
Some people thrive from homeschooling. I'm not gonna say don't homeschool your kid. Don't move your kid out of public school. I think that it's do whatever is appropriate for your kid. Your kid comes first, not the teacher. Not the district.
But we're not given a handbook, though, of what's good for your kid, because we're all institutionalized of you have to go to school from kindergarten to 12th grade and earn your high school diploma. But there are so many other ways like that. But how do you know, your kid's not really fully developed until, well, as a male, 26 years old. And you think you're going to learn throughout that time what your best – like my – for me, going through all these last exams for my financial advising – career, I'm a much different studier now than I was in college or in grad school. But I had to learn that after years of experience. Go, you know what? I think I would have been more successful 10 years ago had I known what I know about myself and studying and discipline now.
And I think this is something that we're starting to learn. We've taken way too long to learn it. And if we could just overhaul certain almost every aspect
almost
of the
a little bit,
education
a few,
system.
Everything. Yeah. Pull the plug on it.
That's just how I believe politically. So to bring it back to into the Spider-Verse, get off the politics, and get on
to... Yeah, we were there for a while. Yeah. Sorry about that, listeners.
Sorry, guys. get back onto into the Spider-Verse. I haven't seen Across the Spider-Verse. I don't think I'm going to have time to.
Is that on Disney Plus or is that in movies?
It's in movies. It's not going to be on Disney Plus for a very long time. Into the Spider-Verse is such a good movie. I think, Nick, if you don't watch it, if you just missed it the rest of your life, you are missing something.
I'm doing a disservice to myself.
You are doing a disservice to yourself. And I feel just awful not being able to see Across the Spider-Verse because I'm so excited about it. I hear so many good reviews. I loved the first one so much. And it's hard to, you know, to match the quality of the first movie if you liked it so much. Watching Black Panther 2, even though the acting took a step up, everything just kind of took a step down. And Marvel had to Marvel. But
you also had the death of the main character. But
yeah. Well, oh, God, that sucked.
We've got a lot more to talk about, some trailers that have come out, including Dune. And also, we're going to talk about the lineup for the celebrities at Denver Fan Expo coming up at the end of the month. And there is quite the lineup. So stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Nerd Show. Again, shout out to Scott Magerflesh, a.k.a. Darth Monger, who is on his Alaskan cruise with his new bride.
With his ball and chain.
That, maybe. I don't know. Wow, it was a great weekend. Nerdy, fun, celebratory. But, you know, we're grateful. Mike, at the end of the month, Scott once again has helped us to acquire press passes.
Woohoo.
For Denver Fan X. So if you don't know Fan X, that is the Denver Fan Expo, formerly Denver Comic Con, but because of, you know, legal things, San Diego has literally bought the words Comic Con, so you can't use those for any kind of marketing or publicity. You know what, which...
That's our word.
I'm going to... I don't know if I'm allowed to... You might have to edit this in post, but this goes up to, you know, I'm a part of the 501st Legion. And recently, never mind, I don't think I can do this online. But I'm a little grumpy with the powers that be at Disney and Lucasfilm for just how strict they are about their name and their brand. Because a local charity in Greeley will suffer because of those kind of really strict rules and guidelines. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, the same – I agree with you. The same thing is happened with Star Trek fans making their own Star Trek movies, and CBS and Paramount came down on them. And I'm sure there was one or two bad actors, but it basically hurt everybody. And it's like, no, you can't hurt the fans. If you hurt the fans, if you go up against the fans, you're just going to disenfranchise them, and then you're going to lose some diamonds in the rough.
Disenfranchise.
Good one.
All right. Well,
who's coming to Comic Con?
Quite
Denver,
a lineup.
Fanex.
Denver Fanex. Yes. We'll go through. I mean, this is a dang good lineup, and I'm not much into celebrities or like standing in line or paying a stupid amount of money for an autograph or even more for a photograph. But just looking through, there is a hell of a lineup. You know,
Christina Ricci.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Look at her eyes in this photo. I mean, I'm an eyes guy, and she still looks gorgeous.
My first celebrity crush was Christina Ricci in the Adams
Family. Nice.
Yeah. She was so funny in that. She stole the show, and you had Raul Julia and Angelica Houston and Christopher Lloyd. And she, at 10 or 11, stole the show.
That was Christopher Lloyd. I forgot. Yeah, and they're going to be here. So going
from, he's going to be here, too.
I'm at fanexpohq.com for all the celebrities. The top billing person right now, though, on the website is Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, you know, seeing Hayden. He's, of course, made his reappearance as Darth Vader in the last year, both Obi-Wan series and, you know, just with Darth Vader making a comeback. We have Chevy Chase coming back with the entire cast of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I'm not going to badmouth that. I'm not a huge fan of the movie.
And I think Randy Quaid is coming, too.
He is.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is. You know, and I heard rumors that he was, like, avoiding the United States for financial reasons? Political reasons?
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, I know he has kind of gone a little on the conspiracy theory rail, so maybe he'll join by video. You got a lot of Harry Potter people, at least one. You've got Bonnie Wright.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, gosh. She's, of course, Ginny. And Tom Helton, who's Lucius. No, not Lucius. Draco Malfoy. Bonnie played Ginny, of course. And, you know, when we go to Harry Potter, Micah, did you read those books or watch those movies?
I saw
you watched
some
the
of the movies.
It was a couple years ago you watched them.
Yeah, I finally watched a few of them, and they're not as magic for me as they are for other people.
The books were
much
amazing.
Older.
I still think that Harry and Hermione should have hooked up, but you know what? That's fine.
I was okay with whatever happened.
Yeah. Charlie Cox and John Bernthal. We have Charlie Cox, who was Daredevil, who appearances in Marvel Now are still kind of questionable. But John Bernthal was the Punisher and also was Shane in The Walking Dead.
By the way, he's got a – if you see him on First We Feast, the chicken show on YouTube where they eat hot chicken wings, he's got a great episode. You should definitely watch that one.
All right. Well, we got Sam Raimi, who's a director.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. That's what he's known for most. Now we've got The Evil Dead, The Game, The Grudge. That was a fantastic movie, a horror movie back in the day. That was 2020. No, there was a Grudge way before that.
Maybe this is like The Grudge 12.
The Grudged. But Sam Raimi, who's I think also got the helm of a couple more Marvel movies coming up. Christopher Lloyd is going to be there. Back to the Future. Great Scott. I'm excited. Well, and again, we don't really get to see them with our press badges. Maybe we will, but we have Vincent, I can't say his last name, D'Onofrio, who was Kingpin in Daredevil and made his appearance in we had Daredevil in both the Hawkeye TV series.
Was he also in Full Metal Jacket? I think he was one of the characters in Full Metal Jacket, which is another must-see.
So we have Giancarlo Esposito, who is probably one of my all-time favorite actors right now. Of course, we know him as Moff Gideon from The Mandalorian. But also, I just finished up this morning my probably third watching of Breaking Bad, which my parents watched. Which, if you asked me 20 years ago if my parents would ever watch Breaking Bad, one, it was no, because it wasn't out then. But
are
two,
there any Breaking Bad actors?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo? Okay.
I don't think so, but he was phenomenal in Better Call Saul as well. And those two series, I tell you.
Better in Breaking Bad.
I think so.
But still really good in Better Call Saul.
Exactly. And oh my gosh, great. We have Stephen Amell from Arrow. I don't really know him. Steve Burns, anyone who's 25 to 35 plus knows him from Steve from Blues Clues.
No idea.
I told you
never
before.
Saw it.
Blues Clues.
Danny Trejo, by the way.
Machete.
Yeah. So
he was also in Breaking Bad. Remember that episode when his head was on a turtle?
Yeah.
Tortuga. That was his name.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's got a good story as well.
Let's talk
you
about
look
the up,
look into him.
The 2%. We can't talk about the 2% really in detail on air, but Katie Sackhoff is going to be here. And again, Micah, you might have to bleep this out. Do you know what the 2% is now with Katie Sackhoff fans?
Milk.
No. It is there's a lot of fans out there who just love Bo-Katan, who love what she's done to The Mandalorian, but she said in a TV interview, which I think I can say on air, maybe not, that 2% of the fans just want to have her sit somewhere close to them, on them. So there's a 2% out there, and that's been a hashtag ever since Katie Sackhoff called him out of they don't care about her acting or her character. They're just kind of pervy.
I would say yes, that's probably true. There are a lot of weirdos out there.
And I'm surprised it's only 2%. But we have Henry Winkler coming in, who was the Fonz. But, you know, his
Even better, he was in Barry.
He was Cousineau, Gene Cousineau. And so
that's what he's going to be known for. Forget the Fonz.
Oh, I think so.
He is going to be Cousineau forever.
When we were looking at this list, you know, on FanExpoHQ.com, it gives kind of the biggest titles that they were known for, and Henry Winkler just says Hollywood legend.
Yes.
And I think that's perfect. I mean, he was in Waterboy. He was fantastic as the coach in Waterboy. We've got Ron Perlman, who was in Hellboy and Sons of Anarchy. We have Emily Swallow, who I have not seen her face before. She is absolutely beautiful and stunning, but she is the armorer.
She's my favorite character. You guys almost poisoned my brain, but she's my favorite character in The Mandalorian. Don't do that again. Don't call her a bad guy.
There's a lot of fan theories. We have Rose McGowan, who was in Scream, and she looks familiar.
Oh, you know what? She was the gal who got killed by the garage door.
Oh, I don't remember Scream. Neve Campbell and Jamie Kennedy from Scream.
Nev Campbell. Get it right.
Nev?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
That movie came out when I was...
a child?
Well, when I was in high school, so...
Matthew Lillard, he was in Scream. I remember him from that silly movie with Luke Wilson, and when they went to find the treasure. Who was the guy who disappeared with a bag full over the airplane? And I think they make a joke and with Loki over it. Anyway, we have Vivian Lyra Blair, who was little Leia in Obi-Wan, which it's weird to me that I think she's the only actor coming from the Obi-Wan series. And call me crazy, but I think she's...
Well, no, because you've got Hayden Christensen.
I mean, that's fair, but she needs to be next to Ewan McGregor, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he's too big of a star.
All right. We have Grace Van Dyne, who was in Stranger Things. She is the what was her character's name? She was the ice cream gal.
She died very early.
No, she didn't. She was not the ice cream gal. That was now you're making me
Grace Van Dyne was the cheerleader who got crushed in season 4. She was the first person that Vecna killed.
Oh wait, was she?
Yeah.
She's not the
that's a picture of her in the woods.
Oh. Well, then who am I thinking of? Who's the ice cream gal?
I don't know.
Well, not Grace Van Dyne. Sorry about that.
And I believe her father, I can't remember his name, was in Super Troopers.
Ooh, that's good.
Sorry, Starship Troopers. Starship. Which is a highly underrated sci-fi movie.
That's not bad. Okay, we got a lot of Star Trek coming up soon, but we have Kate Flannery from The Office. We know her as Meredith, and what a great... It's a side character, you know, added some moments, but Star Trek is got some powerhouses. We have Jonathan Frakes, who was, I think...
Commander Riker.
Yeah, Riker. And then we had Brett Spiner, who was Worf, and Michael Dorn, Data.
Data.
I know. I'm just trying to rile you up, Micah.
Yeah, you just got me riled up. Them's fighting words.
They are.
Michael Dorn is Worf. He's also coming. And Gates McFadden...
That's your favorite, right?
I did have a crush on her. Maybe she's like 30 years older than me, but as a kid, I had a crush on her.
Who's this Gabriel Luna from The Last of Us? Was he from the video game or from the TV series? Because I don't recognize him.
Maybe. I don't remember. I'll have to go through and watch it. I was rather impressed by the show.
More Office fans. We have Leslie David Baker and Brian Baumgartner, who are both Stanley and Kevin Malone. And then some folks from The Flash, which I haven't seen. But, Micah, when we're looking at these photos of these actors, are fans meant to be disappointed when they're significantly more aged? Like Chevy Chase, for instance. We get
Or Brent Spiner, who is much more aged than this photo of him, which is clearly from the 90s.
Oh, absolutely. So...
Michael Dorn, Michael Dorn
is Worf.
And Gates McFadden and Jonathan Frakes all went with the uniforms. They all went with this is us from Star Trek The Next Generation. These are us in our uniforms. Brent Spiner is like, no, this is me.
He's got his
out of the
90s
makeup.
GQ. Now, I'm going to ask about Michael Dorn from Star Trek. He was Worf. You know, he's got that spiked forehead, the long hair, the mustache goatee type of thing.
He's a Klingon.
Well, yeah. Well, I wanted to describe it for those who didn't know Klingon. Would they recognize Michael Dorn without the makeup?
No, they
I don't
they
think
wouldn't.
I would. I wouldn't recognize him without the makeup.
People who are fans of Chips, they would know. Hmm.
Oh, I do know that. Anyway, it's a fantastic lineup. That is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The weekend before... the July 4th holiday. So that's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Micah.
And you will have to check out the website to see what days they are coming in. And
yeah.
There are. Yeah. Keep checking because every now and then the guests will cancel.
They will. And change or something else comes up, you know. But, wow, what a lineup. We're excited to be there next weekend. But stay tuned. We'll have some more nerdy things to talk about after this break. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. Nick and Micah here, talking nerdy to you. We just got done discussing the celebrities who will be at Denver FanX next weekend. That's June 29th, 30th, and July 1st, I think. Let me look again.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say 30th.
31 first. And 2. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to go the 30th, but I will go the 1st.
I think I will, too.
Maybe the 2nd?
You know, I'm just questioning, and Denver's done this for a few years, why on July 4th weekend? I mean, it's not July 4th weekend, but July 4th is on a Tuesday this year, which anytime you have a holiday that falls on a day, not a specific, you know, a date, not a specific day.
I blame the founders. It's their fault. They should have picked a weekend.
Yep.
Should have picked a weekend. They should have said.
Speechless.
Yeah, they said, oh.
Maybe like the third Thursday.
July 2nd. They signed it. Didn't they say July – one of them said July 2nd is going to be the day that everybody remembers, but no, it's July 4th.
Well, no, because that would also shift, but we would have liked something more consistent in the summertime.
Let's all just celebrate the entire week.
I mean, that's what happens now anyway. No one's going to work on Monday and then take Tuesday off, so they're going to, you know, be somewhere Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, when you walk through my neighborhood day and night, people are celebrating – doesn't matter what they're celebrating. There are fireworks all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are they actually celebrating?
It doesn't
just
matter.
I'm not
safely.
I'm not a firework person. And, you know, they've never really, even professional ones, I don't get enticed or excited or enjoy firework shows. But especially the home ones where it's just, how much?
Annoying.
You just drove up to Wyoming and spent $700 on, okay, you do you.
And just don't. Be safe, like they are on the set of Dune.
Oh my gosh!
Looks so good.
You read my mind, Micah. Thanks for the segue. The latest trailer that we have for Dune came out about a week ago, and this is of course Dune Part 2. The first movie I thought was absolutely fantastic. The book is not as good as the movie, I will say, and I rarely say that. They do a lot of back and forth.
Book.
I have, yeah. So I do know what happens, but I'm really excited to see it really pan out on cinema. I thought the first movie was just exceptional. Cinematography was fantastic. The music was great. They had an incredible list of actors and actresses
who made that up. The main character, Timothée Chalamet. Florence Pugh is going to be in this one. Zendaya is going to reprise her role. You've got Rebecca Ferguson, who is Timothée Chalamet's mother.
Who do we have as the princess
coming in?
What, Christopher Walken? I thought he was retired.
I guess not.
So I'm
and
curious.
And then you have Dave Bautista. He's going to reprise his role again.
You know, I know I missed the show where y'all discussed, Florence Pugh is Princess Irulan. I like that because she's a
tremendous actress.
She's a big character in the book, much more so. And I think she was in Black Widow, right? Wasn't she the
she was. She was
Romanov's
the
sister?
Russian sister.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I know Russians are no topics right now, but
don't blame the Russians for their government.
That's fair. But Dune Part 2, Micah, do you think they film these back-to-back?
Yes, I believe they I think they filmed a lot of it back to back, and they had to. There's so much that the first one was just so beautiful. It's impossible for them to just stop and then start over. I think they probably did what Peter Jackson did with The Lord of the Rings, and then filmed several parts together. And he said, "Oops,
I was curious. Denis Villeneuve. Well, you know what? Wow. Cultured, Micah. Cultured.
I had to look at a lot of interviews to
Fair.
Get that, and I'm probably wrong.
He did not film Dune Part 1 and 2 back-to-back.
I'm wrong then.
I was kind of shocked too because they've not come out very close together, but I think close enough where, yeah, Lord of the Rings was every year that it came out. And we even talked a couple months ago on the Nerd Show with Scott of, is there going to be any, I'll say trilogy, not a part one or two, that's going to do all the filming all at once again? And I was hoping, and I thought so too, Mike. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You got a lot going on, and it takes place literally immediately after the ending of Dune Part 1. They just took this whole story and split it in half. But no, they filmed it in two different segments.
And the first one was good, so I imagine the second one is going to be as good. I know our friend Kevin with Fat Guys at the Movies is not as much of a fan as he was of the first one, but that's fine.
Wait, for the second one? He's already seen it?
Well, the one from 1984. Who's the band that did the song Africa?
Toto.
Toto. Yeah, Toto did the music to the first one, wow, which is kind of trippy and shockingly good.
Who did this one? Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this is our first call-in. Listener, what do you think?
I forgot to silence an alarm.
Oh, come on. We're doing well. But that's a hot one. I think this summer is going to be Dune Part 2.
November 3rd, the
internet
says.
Oh, wow. Never mind. Oh, yeah. It's right there in front of me. Well, stay tuned. We have a little bit more of the Nerd Show coming up. A lot of discussion early on, but we'll just recap with a couple more trailers, a couple more feelings, and wrap up tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We have very limited time left, but as far as summer blockbusters go, there's not been much. You know, we had Guardians 3 that came out, you know, did not get Nerd Show stamp of approval. I went and saw Transformers last week.
Is that a Nick stamp of approval?
What, Transformers?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, no. No.
Is it as bad as all the others? Look, the first one was entertaining. The other ones that I saw were just awkward and stupid.
You know, the first one, aside from the humans, I like the stories for the first trilogy. But this latest, you know, rendition hasn't been Michael Bay, which is probably for the best. I enjoyed the most Age of Extinction because it was more about the, not the Autobots and Cyber Decepticons, but more about, you know, the Cybertronians or whatever they're called as a whole. And the humans were the bad guys and they were barely in it, which was great. But then I guess this is where they're going now. Bumblebee was under the new director with Hailee Steinfeld, and that goes back in time to where it disrupts Michael Bay's trilogy. And then we have this movie here, which was also in the past, I think 1994, which is supposed to set up some different timelines with Unicron. I don't know. Either way, I sat through that movie wondering, why the heck did I buy a ticket for this? And I was disappointed sorely. We have Indiana Jones coming up in, what, less than almost 10 days. And I'm pretty stoked for Indiana Jones.
Meh.
Okay, we have to. Look,
I'm not as disappointed as I was in Indiana Jones 4 now that I found out that the crystal skulls are actually a thing.
Yeah, well, like,
I didn't realize. I thought it was just some thing that they made up. But now that I found out that there's actually a crystal skull theory, I'm not so irritated by it, but I still think, meh.
Well, I think it came out in a time in the 70s and 80s when Indiana Jones was making its 80s, where people knew those were real and, you know, the story was great. Plus, you're fighting Nazis, which who doesn't like beating Nazis? But then you get in the Crystal Skull, which was, what, 20 years after, you know, when I think the best Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost, The Last Crusade. I mean, you could put Harrison Ford and Sean Connery together. That was a masterpiece. That was a masterpiece, in my opinion. But then you have it 20 years later, and it just didn't flow well. So this is a big test. Can they still hold up in time? The budget for this was outrageous. I think it was almost $300 million.
Let's hope they didn't waste it.
For, I think, a lot of de-aging technology for Harrison Ford. But
sounds like they wasted it.
It might have been. I'm excited for that. Any other summer blockbusters, Micah, that you have? We have the Megalodon 2, that the first one was absolutely a joke. I mean, Jason Statham punching a Megalodon in the face was dumb. I mean, that they didn't even do that in Jurassic Park, for crying out loud.
I'm not really a big monster movie fan or a horror movie fan, so I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to the summer blockbusters because the move has been stressful enough. Now that it's over, I'm hoping I'm going to be able to go outside for once.
Well, you have windows now, and I know you hate it.
But hey, this week we've got Secret Invasion coming up. And we got a new trailer for The Boys, actually two of them. One of them is a character announcing that Vought is behind Homelander 100%, and Homelander is on trial. And then Homelander, another one, shows Homelander and how so much of a sociopath he is and how just far gone he is. And I think it's probably going to be another crazy season. Nick, I don't know if you've seen the show.
I haven't yet. I'm just about to get into The Expanse.
That's what I've been getting into. I'm stuck in season two. But I would say this is a show, if you like comic book movies and you want to watch something that makes fun of comic book movies and TV shows and the genre of comic books, go ahead and watch it. Very violent. Very violent, a lot of sexuality in it, especially as the seasons go along. But it's
so
great.
Amazon Prime is the new
commentary.
HBO, it seems.
Yeah, it's an Amazon thing, so they can just do whatever they want because internet.
Oh, and
internet hasn't been taken over yet.
No. Well, this has been a good reunion for the Nerd Show. We're missing Scott, of course, and I think we're without him again next week. But Micah and I will recap Secret Invasion. And maybe
I will touch on Star Trek. Why am I forgetting the series?
Next, Abomination.
Abomination. No. Well, this newest episode wasn't the best, but it wasn't an abomination. The show is actually really good.
I didn't even know there's
Strange
a new one
worlds.
Out there, but
there we go. My brain is back in my head.
Nerdians, y'all stay nerdy. We'll be back next week.
Live long and prosper.